Welcome to A Dopamine Kick. Yes, another ADHD podcast.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week and we can hyper-focus together on all things ADHD.
This is our journey to diagnosis, the challenges, frustrations and humour that come when living with ADHD as adults.
Let the interrupting begin!
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 89 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we're talking about ADHD and all things change.
Speaking of change, what day is it, Shell?
It's Monday.
We've changed the day. The reason we've not changed the day, we're just late, aren't we? We had a lot of things going on and it's not becoming a regular thing. This is the second time, although I'm going to say this live, but not live. Last week, was it last week or the week before, an episode went out late and I don't think you realised. I totally forgot to put it out on a Sunday.
Oh no, I didn't notice that at all.
So, there has been a couple of episodes now where we have missed the date. And there is a good reason for that. And we're going to be talking about change. And change, it can lead to a lot of stress when you've got ADHD. So, we just want to put that out there. We are still doing episodes. We are very, very sorry that we are late.
Speaking of change, we also wanted to talk about our subscription service, which we've had for some time now, but we really don't mention very much at all. But it's something that we need to start talking about more and putting a bit of a focus on.
So as we continue to grow and evolve, we're reaching out to you, our listeners, to ask for your support. So as you may be aware, there are costs involved in running a podcast. We've done this now for about coming up to 2 years and we've reached a point where we're asking for your help because we can't continue to fund this indefinitely. If this podcast has enriched your life in any way or made you smile, please, please consider supporting us by donating on our subscription. We'll put all the links in the description. So yeah, thank you very much if you decide to donate.
Okay, let's crack on with the episode. So how we came about this episode is I've mentioned on the podcast before that I had a bit of work done on my house that I had to pause while my mother-in-law was recovering from surgery. She's not all recovered, but she's recovered enough that we were able to restart. And so my house is like a demolition zone all over again. I've got stuff piled up in rooms and rooms that I can't go into, and all I can smell is brick dust. And once again, I am on the brink of a breakdown. And I think it just seems to be something that's really consistent, is that I need my safe space at home. Like, I need my home to be somewhere that I can relax, somewhere that I'm comfortable in, that there's not people coming in and out of, that I'm happy with like how it looks, or happy enough. There's always a project, but you know what I mean. And as soon as that is disrupted, it doesn't matter how organized I am in the rest of my life, everything goes to shit. So this time I knew it was happening. I knew that I was triggered last time. I knew, you know, how bad things got for me mentally. So I've made a massive effort to keep up the things that I was doing to improve my mental health. So I'm still going to the gym. I've been taking my vitamins, drinking more water, trying to eat healthily, staying away from the junk food, trying to get enough sleep. I think that's all of them. A lot to keep on top of, but I've really been like focusing. I've got to like keep this together. And it has made zero difference. Like, I am stressed. I'm so ADHD. I'm like bouncing off the fucking walls. I've got a million different projects that I'm starting all at one time. And the only thing that's different right now is my house is a building site, and I can't deal with that change.
It's really weird, isn't it? Because with ADHD, you crave new things, stimulation.
Yeah.
And then when a small change happens, it can be so disruptive and unsettling and cause so much anxiety and increase your stress levels that something small will change and you can't cope.
So I find for me, it's a complete paradox. So I would describe myself as someone who, you know, can't really follow a routine, and like every day is chaotic and different. And like, it's not unusual for me, even like now at nearly 38, to turn up at work having not brushed my hair, not brushed my teeth, because I've just rushed out of the house and I've forgotten. So I find it really hard to hold on to any sort of routine. But then equally, there's things in my life that are so fixed. So I drive the exact same way to work every day. There are multiple ways that I could get there, but I always drive the same way. And if for some reason I can't, it really bothers me. At work, you know, there's three rooms that I could use, and there's five of us. So everybody else just uses the room that's free. I use the same room. It's a thing. Everybody moves to make way for me. I have to use the same room. And it's not even like it's the best room. I picked that room as my room because it's actually one of the lesser rooms, and therefore no one would fight me for it. And so gradually it became my room because I didn't have to fight for it.
So you didn't pick the room based on that it was the best?
Yeah, I picked it based on it was the worst. And I do that, I've noticed it, I do it all the time. So like in my current job, the car park is too small, but in previous jobs, I've always done stuff like picked the rubbishy car parking space that's like underneath the trees so nobody else wants to go under it because their car will get covered in sap and stuff. And because it's always free, I will then make that my space that I park in every single day. And like at the gym, there's this one locker that the door doesn't work very well, like the lock, you have to really jiggle it. And so nobody uses it. So that's become my locker. And I would rather use the shitty locker that doesn't work very well than use a nice one. Because if I use the shitty one, I know I can use it every single time. And I just can't, in my mind, I can't understand why my brain can be so fixated on something as mundane as that. But after 37 fucking years, I can't brush my teeth twice a day every day.
That's so true. Do you know what?
What the hell, this brain?
Do you know what? I like change. As we know, we've talked about it loads on the podcast. I'm changing things all the time. I'm in a different room again today. But
that's your change. I can do my change. I can be in like different rooms and suddenly decide to paint a room. That's your change. How do you cope when someone changes things for you or you're not in control of the change?
Well, I get stressed. It's true, I do get stressed. For me, I really like change. I like things changing. But then silly little things, like you were talking about how your room at work is completely different. If I get into a routine, even though I hate routine, if I get into a routine, say, at said work, and then something changes about it, I completely go into like a meltdown and I don't know what I'm doing. Like I can't do things in a step-by-step process. And I think any time that change is thrown upon me, I don't know what it is. It's almost like this overwhelming anxiety, like where I just fall to pieces.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes it can just be someone saying something that changes the narrative of something. I was going to say something then, but it's gone out of my head. Fuck's sake. Yeah,
I do
agree.
Know what you mean about this being brain. Like thrown like just throws you, because occasionally I do have to use a different room at work. Like I just can't deal with it. Like I tell everybody, like every client that comes in,
this is not my room.
Oh, sorry, this is not my room. I'm not usually in this room. Stop to it. Be fair, it's become such a thing that my regular clients will come in and be like, oh, you're not usually in this room, are you, Shel?
Oh, my God.
And then I'll be like, I know, I've been relegated. And then I'll be like, you know, complaining about something out the back, like, oh, yeah, well, I'm not in my room, am I? And like, everybody knows if I'm not in my room, like it's a thing. And I just feel like really flustered. Like the rooms are all set up the same, like they follow the same basic principle, like they've all got
that's
three
the
drawers
word. Flustered.
And pardon? flustered yeah,
yes,
and
flustered.
Like the rooms have got like drawers and cupboards, and the same things are in the drawers and cupboards of each room, but I will be like flinging all the drawers open, like not able to find things, flinging the cupboard open. I'll be like saying to the client, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't know where anything is in this room, this is not my room. And like, I just don't know what
isn't the same
over
things. It's the same things in the drawers.
Yeah, it's
I'm
the same things.
Sure.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah. The same order. The rooms are set up that you should just literally be able to walk into any one, and they're just use them. They're all the same. Yeah. But I just can't. Like, I'll be like bumping into things as well, because I guess I must just be used to moving around in my space in that room. And I hit my like hip and I hit my elbows off stuff because I'm like can't like get used to the space. And oh yeah, hell, actual hell. And I try and make a bit of a joke of it. I try and be like, oh no, no, it's fine. I can go in any room. I don't mind.
And yet you fall apart.
And yet I'm just like, yeah, get me back in my room.
I completely know what you mean, because I do generally fall apart. Like, I've made excuses before at certain jobs. I'm like, oh, you know, I've not been able to do this, or I've not been able to do that. And it's almost like an excuse because the routine has changed. So even though I said I hate routine, I know I need routine to cope and survive. So it's like, again, ADHD, just the gift that keeps on giving. You need the routine, but then you hate the routine. You hate the boredom, but then you need the change, and then you hate the change. It's like an ongoing like spiral of events. But one of the things that really throws me off is when somebody makes plans and I'm not expecting it. So it could be that someone says, oh, I'm 5 minutes around the corner, I'll just pop in. What?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I mean, for me, it's the fear, because the house is just never guest ready for someone to pop in.
Again, is that working? Executive functioning, because you know that you've got, like, clothes everywhere, things everywhere, and almost now when anybody knocks the door, I almost go into this, like, fright zone. I'm like, creeping to the doorway, like, who's that? Yeah, and normally it's like an Amazon delivery driver or an Uber Eats takeaway person. But most of the time, like, shit, who's that? I just hate that unexpected visitor turning up. And in some ways, I even hate going out to places that I know that people are going to be there, because I've not planned to bump into them, but then you'll just bump into them, and then you're like,
bumping into people is just like my actual. I never know like what to do. Like, I never know how to behave. Like, do you then just do things together, or do you like awkwardly move on? Like, so I had an incident a couple of weeks ago where I'd taken my daughter to a theme park, and someone that we knew was there as well. We knew they were going to be there, so I knew there was a fairly good chance I'd bump into them. I'd even made a joke about like we'd say hi or whatever. And then we saw them, and I just didn't know how to behave. So they are, you know, I would consider them friends of ours. Like, we've been, you know, over to their house a number of times. Our daughters are similar age. We actually met in like a baby group. But because they were going and we were going, and they knew we were going and we knew they were going, but we didn't say like, oh, we'll meet at this time. I was like, when we bumped into them, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to be like, oh, let's just spend the day together, because I felt like they didn't want that, because they already knew we were going and they hadn't suggested it. So then I was like, well, I don't really know, like, after we'd said like an initial hi, it's like really awkward, because it's not a massive theme park. We kept bumping into each other. So then it's like, do I like ignore them almost, or do we keep talking, and are they wishing that I wasn't talking to them? Am I interrupting their family day? But then, you know, equally they did come over and say hi to me, and I just feel like it is a social experience that I did not get given the manual for, and I did not know how to behave.
That's the thing as well, isn't it? It's almost like a resistance to change as well, because you know in yourself what you. We've talked about planning before. When we do actually eventually get down to planning, it's planning like in the hyper-focus way. So then you're planning out your day, and then you're like, well, how does this person fit into my day? Because it's good. They're going to disrupt that predictability that you've planned.
I often find as well in circumstances like that, like social situations, if I've not been in it before, I just don't really know how to behave. And I have to like, I copy other people a lot. Like, I see other people behaving in a certain way, and I think, oh, that's what you do when someone does such and such, and then I'll do it. And I just never know. How do people just automatically know how to behave? You know, like, how do people just know what to do? I don't know.
Sometimes you ask these questions.
I just don't know
how to answer them. I don't know myself.
So say like going back to my daughter again. So she's at an age now where she's invited to like parties and stuff. And I found myself watching the other parents loads and like looking at like, what kind of gifts do they buy? You know, roughly how much money do they spend? How do they dress their children? What do they do at the party? Do they like play with the kids or do they talk to the adults? Because I don't know how to behave in these circumstances because I've never done it before. Mm. And I don't seem to have that like natural instinct of, oh, this is how most humans behave. I have to watch other people. And then, you know, the next party, I'll be fine because I'll just perform all those behaviours that I've seen other people do and I'll copy them.
Yeah.
And I'll look normal. But for the first time, I'm always just like very quiet, just watching everything. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I need someone to direct me. I need the manual. Nobody has given me a manual.
Maybe that's a bit of masking as well, like, because it's a new environment.
Maybe.
So I guess when you're in a new environment and you don't really know what to do, you look to other people. I guess in a way that's a natural survival thing, isn't it? Because that's how we learn from the people that are around us culturally.
Maybe everybody does it. I don't know. Maybe everybody does it and they just don't talk about it, because I don't particularly talk about it. Like, I'm mentioning it on the podcast, but I don't know that I've said to anybody else, like, I have to watch other mothers and copy how they behave. It's not the kind of thing you say.
It's true, actually. I mean, I guess it's something that we probably do subconsciously. But I think in your case as well, there's the change of going somewhere new and then the stress and anxiety. So you're probably more hyper aware, more hyper focused on what's going on and how you should behave. So ADHD and overthinking again. Our brains are just wired that way and it's so fucking frustrating. Hate it. I have difficulty yours is probably going to be better than mine anyway.
No, don't be silly.
Oh, you're being nice. You're being nice.
I'm being nice for once.
I was going to say,
in a good mood.
With me, I don't think it's change per se. I think for me, it's difficulty with transitioning from one thing to another. So I don't ever mention this, so I'm really sorry if I'm repeating myself because I've already forgotten. If I say to somebody, let's go to a car boot or let's go to a park, or I've got these really big impulsive ideas, I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And then time has passed, I've changed my mind, and then someone's saying to me, oh, do you want to go to that park or do you want to go to that car boot? And I don't want to go now. It's almost, I can't break the focus on now what I'm focused on. Does that make sense? So if I sit down and say, oh, I'm going to do 5 minutes of work and then I'm going to go to the park, and I've told someone that's what's going to happen, if I sit down and then start the work, there's no way that I am then going to be able to switch from working to going to the park. Yeah. It's almost like I can't stop. I can't transition from one thing to another. So that thing about going to the park just becomes so like, oh, why have I got to go? And it's almost like transitioning to change. I can't do that. I really struggle with transitioning from one task to another, because most of the time it's hard to stay on task. So when I'm really in a hyper focus or I really want to get something done, I can't stop. And that's evident in the fact that when I do this podcast, I just ramble about topics. I actually cut so much of my ramblings down in this podcast because I have to sit there and listen to me. And I think, do you know what? Fuck that. That's going. Because otherwise these episodes would be like 50 minutes long and I'd just be going, la, la, la. And you can just see Shell zoning out.
Don't mind me, I'm just dissociating away in my little corner.
She does. And if you ever listen to the podcast, and I know you will have heard this if you've listened loads, you'll start hearing like this in the background, like keyboard tapping. That's when Charles dissociating and decided that she doesn't want to listen to me anymore and that she's just going to tip, tip, tap away on a keyboard and try and focus on something else on the internet. Because it's then so I'll stop talking and they'll just be like a silence. Like, I'm like, Shell, are you there? Are you there? Have we lost connection? Oh, sorry. I was just checking the weather because I'm going somewhere next week. Supposed to be listening to me.
Oh my God, it's so true. I feel so called out right now.
So yeah, everyone sits there, listens to her be nice and talk, oh no, you go first, no, you go first. But she does this behind the scenes.
I just can't stay on any, like, half an hour is a long time for me, you know, to just stay on one topic.
Changing topics all the time?
That's
no.
a bit of a stretch.
But it does create anxiety, doesn't it? Change.
Yeah, I definitely think it's all about, it's change, but it's control. So I can definitely do change when it's on my terms. And I do change things a lot, much to the dismay of my ever-suffering husband. But yeah, change is outside my sphere of control.
Just I was going to say we should talk about coping strategies. But sometimes when we do these episodes and we talk about coping strategies, I have no idea because I still struggle with this. And as you all know, I still still not started any medication. So I don't know if medication would help this. That's probably one of the big ones, ADHD medication. And then I guess the only things that you can try to do are plan in advance. Again, that's very hard. And I absolutely hate saying that. It's excruciating. But it does help, you know. It does help trying to plan things in advance. But then saying that, you know, I had to go somewhere a few weekends ago and I planned everything and still a fucking mess. So. What do you do, Shell, to help with change? Like, what are you doing at the moment? Because you're having all this work done, so I'm guessing.
Well, I said, didn't I? I'm really focusing on, like, the routines that I know keep my mental health okay. And I said at the beginning that I hadn't changed a fucking thing. And I don't feel in the moment that it has. I still feel as stressed and like I'm unravelling. But what I'm hoping is that when everything's finished, I'll get back to me a lot quicker, you know, whereas last time ended up like seeing a psychiatrist and being in therapy. And I'm hoping that this time I'll just be, once it's finished, it'll be over.
Mm.
Because I've stuck to my routines, and once the initial trigger's gone, it shouldn't perpetuate like it did last time. We shall see. I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, we'll hear about it next week and the week after. How long are they here for?
Hopefully it should all be done by the middle of next week. So two more episodes and it should be finished.
Woohoo! So we'll see how you are next week. See if you're even more stressed. Let's play this game. How stressed can Shell get?
My stressometer.
One thing that I did want to mention is setting realistic expectations. Sometimes we need to remember that if you've got ADHD, it's going to be different. Change is going to be challenging. So just be patient with yourself and set realistic expectations. When someone is in your house, like Shell, and there's a lot of work going on, it's normal to be stressed about that. And sometimes there's not really much you can do about that because someone is invading your space. And I think even if you haven't got ADHD or any other problems, it can be really overwhelming. Yeah, it's
nobody
not an enjoyable experience.
Enjoyable.
So set realistic expectations and allow yourself to have those setbacks in a way and don't feel guilty about having them. And then the next thing I would say is to break any tasks that you're doing that causes you to have to do change, especially significant kind of changes, is just break them down into smaller tasks. So something that's a little bit more manageable and complete it one step at a time. So when I went away on this weekend, instead of trying to rush around and do everything all at the last minute, I knew the whole thing was going to stress me out anyway. I got my clothes ready on the Monday, which I don't normally do. And like I said, okay, it didn't massively help me, but I don't know if it would have been worse if I hadn't had everything ready, because I did actually have everything ready to go for once. So I'm guessing having things prepared really, really helped.
Well, from someone who said they had no tips, that was quite a few tips.
Right, let's talk about what did you ADHD this week? And I think it's your turn. No. You know it's your turn because last week James did it. And then the week before that, it was definitely me. So you've got away with it for 2 weeks. So
that's true.
This is your moment.
Okay, no, I've got one. It is a bad one. So having this work done in the house to create us, well, it has been my mother-in-law's bedroom, but it will now be our dining area. We don't have a dining room or anything like that, or a dining table in the house at the moment. We've just been using a breakfast bar for the last 3 years. And part of the work is they were going to sand the breakfast bar back because it's really damaged from too much use, and reseal it. So that's been done. Actually, that was done today, but I thought it was going to be done on Thursday. And so I had this like sudden mad panic on Tuesday night that once the breakfast bar was sanded, I didn't want us to be using it because if that's how we've ruined it in the first place by using it for every meal and having a toddler use it. And so I suddenly thought, well, once they've sanded it, like we're not going to, I don't want us to be using it. We need to get a table. The dining room isn't built yet. But I thought, I'm just going to get like a cheap table off Facebook Marketplace or something. And then it doesn't matter then. I can just throw it away if we don't like it. And we can, you know, buy a nice table when all the work's done, everything's finished. It's not going to get ruined. But at least this way, protect the breakfast bar. This was my thoughts. So went on Facebook, massive coincidence. Turns out a mile away, there was someone having a house clearance the next day. And everything was free. I was like, this is phenomenal. Like, this never happens. So I thought, I'm going to go.
You didn't tell me about this free place. I would have been.
You would have been.
Collected
hoarding.
Items. I would have been. Yeah. I would have been like fighting over this table.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, I'm going to go. And whatever this table looks like, it's free. So I'm just going to have it. And then, you know, I can find another one in a couple of months' time when everything's done. And yada, yada, yada. So turn up at this house. Took my daughter with me because I had no choice. So already not ideal because she doesn't want to be there at this house. So she's complaining and whining and wanting snacks and get there. There's actually a really nice table and chairs. The chairs, the seat could do with recovering, but otherwise everything looks mint. The table is this gorgeous circular thing. It's a brand called Stag Furniture, which is quite an expensive brand. I think the table was probably a few thousand when it was bought new and it looks like it's been barely used. So I like cannot believe my luck. I'm like, this is amazing. When I turn up at the place, everyone's talking about how this style of table is out of fashion and no one wants it. And I was like, I'm literally here for the table. Shotgun. So anyway, it has to be taken apart. So get the power tools out, take this table apart, and I've got the chairs as well, the chairs that match. Doesn't all fit in the car, obviously. So I take one set back, then I come back, take the rest of the chairs, and then I try and fit the actual table top, the round table top in the car. This is the second journey now, and it won't fit in at all. Like, even if I took all of the seats out of the car, it's not big enough because it's a circular table. So there's no, because it takes more space, doesn't it? More width. So I then come up with this idea because I'm thinking, well, I've got half the table and the chairs at home already now. Like, I'm committed. I've already taken this thing apart, like taken all the screws apart. I'm committed to this table. And I remember about my fold down caravan. So I think, well, I can use the caravan as like a giant trailer. So I go, this is the worst bit. The caravan is actually being serviced. It's in for its yearly service. So I ring up the place and luckily it is finished and it's good to go. So
all this for a fucking table.
I know. So I drive all the way to the service place with my daughter still complaining in the background, pick up this caravan, take the caravan to the man's house, manage to fit the tabletop on the top, get back to the house, and my drive is like a slight slope. So I get back to the house, I unhook the caravan from the car, and it turns out they've like really tightened the handbrake and I can't lift it. So I am like on the drive screaming because this caravan is slowly dragging me down the drive and into the street. I'm like shouting at my daughter, like ring the doorbell. She can't ring the doorbell, she's three, she can't reach the doorbell. I'm like shouting up at the window, Jamie, because the windows are open, thinking hopefully you'll hear me. And then I'm like screaming at her, like, get me my phone, go in the car, get mummy's phone, thinking I'll ring him. All like by this point, I am like almost in the road. And luckily, Jamie heard me from the window and he came running downstairs and grabbed the caravan and we managed to between the two of us.
Oh my God.
So that, you know, unloaded the table, had to take the caravan back to the service place to get it retightened. So by this point, I've gone back to this man's house three times. I've gone to the caravan place twice and back. All this time I've had my daughter with me. He's furious. And then the crux of the story, the what did you ADHD bit of the story, is the fucking table doesn't fit in the room.
Did you not even prep and check?
Of course I didn't.
Did you not look at it and guesstimate?
I didn't even like roughly measure with my arms if it'd be the right width.
That's brilliant.
So I went through all that for fucking nothing. I've got this table that's still in
that no one wants
in my lounge that no one wants, that at some point I've now got to fucking get rid of because it doesn't fit in my house.
I was thinking, when you were talking about the fact that it wouldn't fit in your car and that you needed a caravan to get it there, and you were talking about how you don't have a dining table in the first place because there's nowhere to fit a dining table, I was thinking, how the hell and where is this table even going to go? Because it sounds huge.
It's not huge. It's just the fact that it's circular, and where we've had like a dining room was a garage, so obviously it's long and narrow. So a circular table, like Jamie straight away was like, this just, he was like, we need a long thin table, not a circular. I mean, it's like a miniature version of what like the Knights at the Round Table would have sat at. Like it's completely round, and it's a four-seater table, and it extends out to six. But like when it's in the four mode, four people literally sit round it in a circle. That's how wide it is. I don't know what came over me. I just was so focused on protecting the breakfast bar, and then I'd committed myself to getting this table. It just didn't occur to me until I got home, and it was in my lounge, and it was taking up like half of the fucking lounge. And I sat there and I looked at it and I just looked up and I said to Jamie, it's not going to fit in the room, is it? And it's killing me because I can't even, I've not even been able to check because the room's full of like dust and like they're working in it.
Shell! Get a tape measure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tape measure. I've tape measured it. No,
this
I've
could
tape
all be
measured
sorted
it. And it will physically
measure.
Fit in the room. I just don't
but
think...
But is it like water?
Yeah, I just don't think anyone will be comfortably sitting around it eating anything.
Well, I'm going to have to say this, right? I think that it's probably better for Jamie, your daughter, and Jamie's mom to sit around the round table in an uncomfortable situation than sit at a breakfast bar and get told off
that they're making a mess.
They're ruining the breakfast bar.
Yeah.
I know which one I'd probably
sit at. Can you imagine?
At.
I'm just going to be so mental about it. I'm going to be like if people are like laying the table and they like put the knives and forks on, I'm just going to be like, can you just put that on gently, please? I don't want to mark. It's so ridiculous. Sorry, quite a long story. I felt like you needed all the background to fully appreciate my angst. It wouldn't have had quite the same effect if I said, oh, I bought a table home and it didn't fit. Yeah, so that's everything that we've got time for today. Please, 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 as we mentioned at the start of the episode, if you find these episodes useful and you're in a position to do so, please consider donating to us so we can keep this podcast going. And yeah, that'd be awesome. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.